You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hey, this is Megan Rapinoe, and I'm Sue Bird. We've decided to turn our crazy IG live show into a podcast for your listening pleasure. Enjoy the show. A Touch More.
New episodes of A Touch More drop Tuesday only on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Be sure to subscribe to the show on Spotify, Apple, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts.
Blue Wire.
Breaking news, LeBron is a Laker.
Here comes LBJ!
This Clippers team will win a championship this year.
Paul George, corner three.
Yes, sir!
Bryant has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! He banks in the three! And the Lakers win the game!
What's good, everybody? Welcome back to the Battle for LA podcast, part of the Clutch Points and Blue Wire Networks. As usual, Tomer Zarley here, Clippers beat writer for Clutch Points. On the other end, all the way in Colorado, an hour ahead of us, still making time for us, Ryan Ward, our Lakers beat writer for Clutch Points. Ryan, what's going on?
I'm in the house. What's going on with you?
Oh, look at that. Whoa. I'm good. We're chilling. All good so far. Last Dance wrapped up yesterday, as I'm sure everyone was tuning in. I haven't seen the ratings for last night's episodes yet, but I'm sure they're through the roof considering there's nothing else to watch or do. Let's just dive right into it. Episodes 9 and 10 yesterday. Basically, episode 9 was about, you know, Reggie Miller, the Indiana Pacers series, and then getting to the finals. Also went back and talked a little bit about Steve Kerr and his dad. That was a pretty moving section for me. That ten minute period where they talked about Steve Kerr and his dad and all that. That was pretty. I don't know. That was kind of moving.
I thought it was cool that they put it in there because I think a lot of people don't know much about Steve Kerr's backstory outside of him playing for the Bulls with Jordan. I'd only heard about it maybe about a year ago or a little bit more than that, maybe. About his dad and all that. And I was like, wow. You got to think about how something like that can shape somebody's life, you know, or send it into another direction or whatever. And some people, they go one way, or some people go completely the other. And he obviously became extremely successful. Man, I tweeted out last night about how crazy his career has kind of been. A lot of people forget that he won 4 straight finals, 3 with the Bulls, and then right to the Spurs and won there. And then he won another one with San Antonio, and then 3 rings as a coach. I mean, the guy, talk about a career. Jeez.
Yeah, I enjoyed that they actually went in depth on everyone, other than just Jordan, Pippen, Rodman, the Jackson, Phil Jackson, the key guys. My mom was watching with me. She was saying, you know, obviously when it was the University of Beirut, or AUB, she was like, oh yeah, she remembered that time period, what was going on, because we were still in Israel back then, or they were. I wasn't born yet, and they were just recalling like, oh yeah, that happened. I remember, you know, that being talked about and all that. And it was unique. I mean, I mean, it's sad, but I'm glad they went into it. That Reggie Miller, that Pacers series was when Jalen Rose was listing off players on that team. You know, Chris Mullin, the Davis brothers himself, Reggie Miller, Larry Bird as the coach. Was that the best team the Bulls had faced, talent wise? I mean, I kind of think so, but. You know, obviously the Orlando Magic were a tough team. They never got to face the Houston Rockets, which I wanted to see. The Olajuwon, Sam Cassell, Houston Rockets. But, do you think that's the toughest team they had to face, the Pacers?
No, I think the Knicks were. I mean, I think the Pacers were a lot better than people give them credit for. It's like Reggie Miller. He doesn't get enough credit. I think people get more annoyed by how he is as a commentator and an analyst now, that kind of overshadows anything he did on the court. But right. he was a killer, man. He was one of those guys back then who you always had to watch out for. Clutch, totally clutch, and a scrapper, and kind of dirty at times too.
I like how you described. Lightly shoving Jordan. Lightly.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just pressing against him and moving him softly.
Oh, man. He
before did all sorts spacing of stuff. Out for a buzzer beater.
It's like John Stockton. John Stockton is one of the dirtiest players in the NBA, but that never gets mentioned.
Yeah, that wasn't mentioned once yesterday. I don't think.
Exactly. But, I mean, it's both of those guys. They both kind of, their play out, you know, overshadowed all the dirty stuff that they used to do. But, yeah, I even said that Reggie Miller is the only guy who had balls enough to fight both Kobe and Michael Jordan on the court.
Reggie Miller's luck was so bad because he got the tail end of Jordan's career, like when he had a good team. Bulls knocked him out, only to freaking face Shaq, Kobe, and the Lakers like a few years later. Like, dude,
they gave him a run.
A break.
They gave him a run. A lot of people think that was a sweep or like an easy series for the Lakers. It wasn't. And then Kobe sprained his ankle during that series, which Jalen Rose probably regrets for the rest of his life. But
was that when he stuck his foot under him?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
The accidental one, right?
Yeah, quotation marks. Yeah, accidental. But yeah, Reggie Miller, just unfortunate. And then there was that time where he considered, or the Celtics reached out to him about joining, and he decided against it. But he would imagine him being a spot up shooter in the corner, or
for the Celtics.
Yeah,
that might not have been fair. Might have even more 3-pointers than he does now, just catching, shooting the whole time.
Is it Ray Allen and Reggie Miller on the same team?
Oof. No, that would have been nasty.
Yeah.
I did like how the final episode was all pretty much title and post-title. I mean, I also found a lot of people don't know about Karl Malone's history.
Karl Malone?
Yeah.
In terms of, oh, well, I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, the whole impregnating and then
yeah.
20-year-old. He was a 20-year-old, and I think she was 14 or something like that.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
It's pretty shitty. He's an asshole. I mean, I'm just putting it out there, like, that's pretty fucked up. And that, I know that wasn't highlighted, it shouldn't be highlighted, but I found a lot of people don't know about that stuff.
Well, I think if it was today, everyone would know.
Oh, he'd get destroyed.
Oh, yeah. But back then, it's like you could, sadly enough, you could get away with that kind of shit, right? Like, they would get... It would get brushed under the rug, or swept under the rug, or whatever, and people just wouldn't talk about it. You know, it'd be all the accolades and, you know, how great he is and blah blah blah.
I remember seeing a tweet yesterday. I was like, "Where would Karl Malone be if he was in today's NBA?" And then someone quote tweeted and said, "In prison," and that had me rolling.
It's pretty bad when you hear it. It's pretty bad. 20 and 14. Oof, and they had a kid.
Yeah,
that's... I think the kid became an athlete. I think he'd be a football player.
I don't know the details of that.
And I think Malone denied that it was his kid for a long time, and then they they made amends or whatever, and now they have a good relationship, but
rough weird. Path to get there.
Yeah, really, really, really weird. I did think the one good thing about Malone was like I didn't know that he went on the bus after they lost.
Oh right,
that's a classy move. That can't be easy for any athlete to do, right? Especially losing twice in consecutive years
to the same team. Yeah,
yeah,
no,
that's rough.
I like seeing them outside the press conference room whenever. You know, Jordan was finished, or Malone and Stockton were finished. They would come out and shake each other's hands and then walk out. They showed that. They showed that a couple times.
the Larry Bird one was hilarious, though.
Oh yeah,
you saw that right after the series is over. Yeah,
we gave him a little FUs, a few bitch.
It came out of nowhere. I was like, "Oh, this is cool," and then all of a sudden, "Fuck you, bitch!"
Yeah, that had us rolling. That was amazing. Yeah, I mean, look, I'm just going to get to this part where I think there were still some things that I would have liked to see in The Last Dance. Like, for example, I don't know about you, but for me, I would have liked to see more about, I know that it was about that final year, 1998, but they did a lot of backstory, and I thought they should have done a bit about what happens after, like Scottie Pippen getting, you know, signed and trade, I believe it was, finally getting paid. Was it a 5-year, $67 million deal, I believe? Dennis Rodman, where he, I would have liked to hear everyone talk about the breakup, the end of that team. Could they have won a 7? Did they want to come back for 7? Scottie Pippen was getting screwed financially. All we heard from was, I believe, was Jordan and Jerry Reinsdorf, the owner, basically saying like there wasn't their market value. They would have been overpaid. That's rebuild.
Well, I didn't know that they offered or Reinsdorf wanted Phil Jackson back. And then, basically, without consulting Jerry Krause, I thought that was interesting. And Phil's just like, "Nah, I'm taking a break."
I mean, usually you kind of have to, like, you know, as people who cover the sport, you understand both sides in terms of rebuilding and trying to establish continued success, and not making sure that you don't just, you know, keep the same team for like 10 years and then you have nothing in terms of draft picks and future, you know, young
players, stuff like that. But what would have been the difference? But the Bulls were shit until they got Derrick Rose.
No, so I'm saying there should have been an exception because no one has ever won 6 titles in 8 years. And that should have been the exception where, like, you know what? Screw it. Just play until you lose.
Quite literally dominated a decade.
Yeah, I thought they should have just played till they lost. Like, not giving them a chance to is really disappointing. I think Dennis Rodman a couple weeks ago said they could have won 7. They could have beat the San Antonio Spurs.
You know what, though? There's something about success in sports and egos and just all the moving parts and how it's always so difficult to keep it together. Because, I mean, think of the Kobe-Shaq Lakers, right? Like, people still debate to this day how many titles could those guys have won if they stuck together and put their bullshit aside, right? I mean, some people say 7. Some people say they would have matched the Bulls with 6. They still lost to the Pistons, though, in
04. You see, that's the thing. Yeah, even if they lost to the Pistons, they could have come back with the same team.
They could have,
to win. But the fact that there was no one had beaten them in those 6 years when they were together, like no one, I think you have to just go for it. Just keep going. Just go for it.
Yeah, well, like that's what I mean, though. It's easier said than done. It sounds like, you know, a logical decision, you know, just keep going. I mean, even I think Jordan says it a couple times. He says, you know, keep going until somebody beats us, right? Or they're not going to, no one's going to win until somebody gets through us, right? And they're right.
Right.
I mean, but the thing is, the Bulls voluntarily broke it up.
And Jerry Krause deserves credit for building a championship roster multiple years in a row.
He also deserves credit for tearing it apart. I mean, the reason why it fell apart is because Krause was tired of getting the shaft or not getting the credit. It's like, dude, you still got rings to your credit. You're in. I mean, I think he was in the Hall of Fame after he passed, right? It was just recently, wasn't it?
I don't know. I don't remember when that was, but I know he passed 3 years ago.
But that's what I mean by the egos and how it can take over and how it. Everybody's got their little thing, like Pippen, even, you know, with that final shot with Tony Kukoc. Like, What a petty thing to say, I'm not coming in, you know, that during a playoff game. Yeah. Like, are you kidding me, dude? Like, why do you have to take the last shot? Why don't you go out there and be a decoy? I mean, I don't know. It just, once you hit that high level and you think your shit doesn't stink, things start to fall apart gradually. You know, people start going there, people, you know, start hearing their own press, and they want to go somewhere else and create their own thing. And it's not sustainable. And even, I think today's NBA is even worse, right? You got guys jumping ship after 2 years. There's no way you're going to get another team like those Bulls, right?
There's just no way. So. The Warriors may have been the last of that kind.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Because if you think about it, like, it's funny when you know, the LeBron Kobe or the LeBron MJ comparisons, they'll never stop. I mean, and LeBron's still going, and who knows where he finishes up. But look at Jordan's teams and how they stayed intact. Did you ever see Jordan get somebody booted out of town or traded because he demanded it or you know, he had his way and wanted to revamp the roster? No, he kept with it, right? And look at the end results, 6 titles in all 6 times they went to the finals.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, look, Jerry, the one issue I have is that Jerry Krause is not there to defend himself for this doc, because all everyone talks about is his shitty character and basically him being a dick for breaking the team up. But I would have liked to hear him talk about it. Like, would he maybe have kept it if he had a chance to? Like, looking back at it now?
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Maybe he would have thought about it differently. That's the only thing I would have really liked to hear. I mean, obviously he can't because he passed away, but I thought it would have been interesting to see, like, his side of it. You know, what was he thinking? Does he regret it looking back at it? Because, I mean, look, he was the one member. He made the decision to fire Doug Collins and put Phil Jackson at the helm.
Right.
I mean, Doug Collins was a successful coach. He brought him to the playoffs. He helped Jordan develop. And, you know, that wasn't easy. That didn't look like the right move at the time.
But you got to think those positions, right, are always, it's always a thankless job, right? They never get the credit. I think the only guy I've ever seen as a GM that got a considerable amount of credit was Jerry West. Jerry West is like the golden boy, right? He never did anything wrong. Even now, with his fingerprints on the Clippers, he does no wrong, right? And then you have Kawhi and Paul George. He's the only one I've seen that's been flawless or, like, just doesn't have many marks on his
resume.
I
think a big part of that is probably his NBA career as a, you know,
Yeah, but look at Elgin Baylor. Those two played together. Elgin Baylor is one of the greatest players ever, and he was one of the worst GMs ever for the Clippers, and he was there for a long time.
You'd need the mind for it. Yeah, you need the mind for it as well. You need the vision for it. So
it's a tough job, and I don't think people with, expressive personalities do well in that position. Like, I don't think, I mean, as you saw with Magic Johnson, he lasted, what, 2 years in his position? It's just, he's just not, he doesn't have what it takes to be great at that, because it's a constant, him always wanting to speak out or defend himself or whatever. Where Jerry West is like, screw it, go ahead, say whatever the hell you're going to say about me. I'm going to do my job, and I'm going to do it well. And he gets the credit for it. But Jerry Krause, I think, wanted to say a lot, but he kept in the shadows too. I mean, it's got to be tough. That's got to be no easy task. I mean, be on one of the greatest teams ever and be kind of the bad guy, right? The enemy within. That's got to be super tough.
You have no friends other than basically ownership, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, but I think it takes a certain type of person to be able to take that kind of crap constantly and endure, right? I think he just wanted to prove that once Jordan was gone, he could rebuild it and do the same thing all over again, right? Somebody else. Clearly, that never happened. He never even got close. I mean, the Derrick Rose era was was pretty good. I don't know when Kraus was done though.
He lasted till 2004, and then he was out.
Okay. So I mean, he just they sucked after that for a long time. And I think what's the furthest that Rose ever got with Eastern Conference Finals?
Yeah, they lost 4-1 to the Heat. Right. But I mean, look, you look at the teams that, I mean, the players that they were able to find during Krause's time after Jordan. I mean, you have Elton Brand, Ron Artest, Jay Williams, Jamal Crawford. I think they traded away Brand for, I think it was Tyson Chandler, who people thought was like sort of like the next KG or whatever. I think, who else did they find? Eddie Curry, I think, was one, maybe, that they found during Noah? During Kraft's tenure. This is until 2004. So I think Noah was like 2009 or 10.
Yeah, maybe right.
Maybe 7. But yeah, they found talented players. Obviously, none of them were Jordan or Pippen or Rodman and didn't have Phil Jackson as a coach. So yeah, tough luck. Dude, I love the... I didn't know about the WrestleMania, not the WrestleMania, the WWE cameo that Rodman decided to make mid NBA Finals. That was wild.
He's about as ballsy as they come. That guy.
That dude is a walking definition of, as long as I get my work done, leave me alone.
Pretty much. I mean, imagine if he didn't hustle and wasn't as good as he was.
No, he couldn't get away with that.
No way.
But because he was so good, I mean, again, looking back at it, he was multiple time Defensive Player of the Year. I think he had 6 straight seasons averaging 15 rebounds or something like that, or 14 rebounds. That's crazy. But he just got it done. He was the glue guy. He got it done. So,
but the thing is though, after that, I mean, his career was over. I mean, he just bounced around. What was it, the Mavs, the Lakers? Can't remember if he played for anybody else. But
I think he played for the Spurs as well.
Wasn't that in between?
Was it? Oh, it was. Yeah, he played for the Spurs and then for the Chicago Bulls and Lakers and Dallas, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was done. I mean, nobody was willing to deal with his shit.
I mean, it's hilarious to see him averaging 2 points, 14 rebounds his final year. Like,
talk about just honing into what you're good, though, what you're good at, rather than going outside of, you know, what a lot of people would think try and do.
He feels like a guy that still has a bit left in the tank at 38 years old, still averaging 15 rebounds a game.
But the thing is, you got to weigh it, right? Like, is it worth dealing with all the other crap that comes along with it and the media circus that he brings? I'm trying to think of who else was like this.
Remember they tried sneaking him out of the back? That was...
Oh, God. Could you imagine us?
That'd be wild.
We'd be so pissed, right? Like,
you saw
waiting.
The camera crew running after him?
Yeah.
That might be me up front.
I would not run after him. I'd be like, screw that. He's out of here. I'm done. I'm going home. Wait, he's not going to say shit. Just let him go. Let him go. But it's that kind of stuff. Like, it's kind of like we'd be drooling over that kind of content, right? But at the same time, did you see the PR guy when he was describing everything?
Like that was one of the best parts for me. Where he was like, "Look,
that guy looks so stressed out.
Rodman doesn't want to talk. We got to get him out the back."
Yeah,
and I was like, "Oh man, this is a mission right here. This is a mission."
Oh, dude, and he just bolted. That was hilarious. Into some giant truck that was just waiting.
Just waiting there for him.
Yeah.
I wanted to pause real quick, tell you guys about BetOnline. As you know right now, there's no shortage of action going on at our exclusive partner at BetOnline. As NASCAR is back, and BetOnline has hundreds of other games, events, and sports you can still get in on. You can even bet on simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC events 24/7. Or, if you like, you can participate in a $10,000 Madden Bracket Challenge, a March Madness-style NFL simulation tournament that you can enter for free. Free, why not? And coming up next Sunday, BetOnline has ex-Chicago Bulls center Horace Grant, Bill Cartwright, and Craig Hodges all joining to discuss Michael Jordan's Last Dance documentary and what they're calling After the Dance. Visit betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your new welcome bonus and check out all the action. BetOnline, your online wagering solution. And for the guys out here looking to last a little longer, maybe go a few extra rounds. You know, Jordan always got all the way to the end, four rounds and done. If you want to go a few extra rounds like Jordan, just get to BlueChew.com. BlueChew.com is the first ever chewable that brings your performance in the bedroom to another level. They've got the same active ingredients that are in Viagra and Cialis, so you know that they work. And since they're chewable, they work even faster. You can take them anytime, day or night, even after dinner on a full stomach, you're good to go. Plus, you don't need to go to the doctor's office or spend time waiting in the pharmacy line. Blue Chew has online physicians, and it's free of cost. Once you're approved, your order ships straight to your door in discreet packaging. Here's a great deal for you guys. Just visit BlueChew.com and get your first order free when you use promo code BLUEWIRE. All you have to do is pay $5 in shipping. Again, that's BLUEChew.com, promo code BLUEWIRE. Another thing, Ryan, I think you mentioned this one. You wanted more from Shaq in the Last Dance?
Yeah. I mean, they're the reason that Jordan got super motivated to go on the final three-peat. And Shaq was a major part of that. I think, come on, Shaq is always up there, always has hot takes and loves talking. I'm surprised he wasn't on this. Not once did you see Shaq talk. I would love to hear what he'd have to say. I know him and MJ were maybe cool. They had a good relationship. Just kind of surprised that he wasn't on there.
They did go into any opponents other than the Jazz? I mean, they did talk to Stockton.
No.
I don't think they got Malone.
No Malone. Reggie Miller. Reggie Miller was on there.
Reggie Miller, that's right, yeah. Well, I mean,
Isaiah.
Shaq would have been interesting just because of his character and his nature. And he's, like you said, he's always got something to say. I just don't – I don't know. I think if they made more noise in the non-Jordan year, maybe they would have included it. Maybe if they won an extra game in the series or pushed him to – didn't they sweep him the next year? Yeah, see, if they made it like a 4-2 series, maybe then you could have included it. But it was kind of like –
Well, right, at the time, the Magic were the team that everybody thought was going to run the NBA after the Jordan era was done. Penny Hardaway was getting comparisons to a more athletic like Magic Johnson. Shaq, everyone knew, was the next biggest thing. You know, the next unstoppable player. They were just well put together. You know, you had Dennis Scott. You had a... and Nick Anderson.
Nick Anderson was there.
Who eventually Grant was choked that team. Yeah. In the playoffs and never recovered. But they were just well put together. I thought they were going to run the table for a while. I honestly did. And then they fell apart super fast. And then Shaq was out. He bolted, and then it was over. And then Penny was never the same after he got hurt. It was a shame, really. That's another doc that's really good. It's the one, the 30 for 30 on the Magic, kind of the rise and fall. I can't remember what the hell it's called, though. But there's a lot of Shaq. There's a lot of Penny. A lot of Horace Grant, I think.
Is it called This Magic Moment?
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, with Nick Anderson, Penny Hardaway.
That's one of my favorite 30 for 30s.
I don't think I've seen that one yet.
It's good. You should watch it.
Yeah, I mean, they also had Gary Payton in there. So, yeah, I just think Shaq would have been included if they just were more of a threat.
You know, what's funny is I was watching that last night with my parents, and they've been saying, like, oh, yeah, maybe we should watch that. I don't like watching it with them because they're not big sports fans.
So you have to explain everything.
Well, it's not just that. It's like they've got the attention span of a six-year-old. You know, like if they lose interest, they're on their phone for the rest of the time, you know? So I'd rather just watch it on my own. But when the Gary Payton one came up, I was like, you know what? Funny memory I have of this guy. Me and Tomer were in Vegas for the Big Three Combine or whatever. I didn't explain all that stuff because they wouldn't understand. Mm-hmm. But I was like, and after the gym cleared out, it was just me, Tomer, Gary Payton, and like two other guys and Jason Terry, and they were throwing $100 bills on the floor having like a three-point contest. And all the shit talking that we heard and everything. And I was like, man, that was cool. It was a cool experience that we had, right?
I couldn't believe it. They were, I think there was like $4,000 they were just throwing on the ground right there.
Man.
I mean, to them, it's probably nothing, but geez, yeah. That was a stack.
Yeah. Big time.
And they were just betting on one made three-pointer. I think I still have the video from that on my phone. That was
dude, you need to post amazing. That. Just put that on Instagram or something. Yeah.
Gary Payton was different. Let me use that caption. The social media king caption. People forget Gary Payton was a beast when he bet money on games. No, I'm just kidding. one thing that I think I wanted to see more of, and I think it's kind of out of their control, obviously, but Kobe Bryant was only in there for, I think, about 6 to 8 minutes, and that was in episode 5, I want to say. Yeah, it was
sounds episode right.
5. I mean, obviously, I think there were reports that he was supposed to have a bigger part, and obviously the helicopter incident happened, and he didn't. I don't know if that's true, but I did feel like it would have been cool to see a bit more from him, at least more. I could have watched an entire episode on them two together.
You know what would have been cool is an entire episode of how Jordan inspired the next generation of players, right? With Kobe obviously being at the top, and then you got others, you know, LeBron in there too, tons of guys, you know, Tracy McGrady. Literally an entire generation afterwards was inspired by him. I mean, I was inspired by him. I'm no NBA player, but inspired me. It changed my whole life and the whole trajectory of where I was going. But that would have been really cool, hearing all those stories from those guys and how, you know, they did this or that because of Jordan. You know, that would have been really cool.
I think what was it? Was it Channing Frye the other day? Was on. Ugh, did you see his tweet?
Cringeworthy.
Oh, you saw it, huh?
He's a nice guy too.
Channing.
His 5 minutes that he played for the Lakers, but
hey man, if you need a way to make a name out there, if you want to just throw a hot take, it's the way to do it.
Or you know, just sell. Sound like an idiot. Yeah.
If Clutch is paying that paycheck, yo, I'm gonna double down on it. No, but that was, and hey, LeBron got him his first ring, so I don't blame him for siding with Bron.
Well, that's the thing, man. Like, he's biased right out the gate.
For those who don't know, Channing said that, I believe it was that Jordan, no one would want to play with Jordan today, in today's NBA, because he was a dick, pretty much. And that he wouldn't average 50 or something like that. What was it?
50s. Come on, 50s crazy. I mean, Jordan's average would go up, but let's be realistic. It would have been probably more around where Harden averages, right? Yeah,
He said he wouldn't be the GOAT because he only really had one job, and that was to score. He did an amazing job at it, but guys wouldn't want to play with him because that wouldn't translate to winning now.
Right, because he didn't play defense at all, right? Michael Jordan, you know, just the guy who got Defensive Player of the Year. One of, like, a handful of guys at the guard position to win that award. The dumbest take I've ever heard. Like, did you watch him play at all?
Jamal Crawford was like, he only had one job. He was like, what?
Yeah.
Like, what?
Like, Channing, you had one job and that was to warm the bench. What the hell are you talking about?
Oh, someone's getting a little personal here.
No, I just don't. It's like, putting blinders on, and like
you should add Channing Frye and say this.
And like I said, he's a nice guy. I mean, when I saw him when he came to the Lakers,
come on, you take a shot, and then he's a nice guy.
Channing, dumb as hell. Okay, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard you say, and I know you're a smart guy, so I don't know what the hell you were thinking. Jordan was arguably the best defensive player in the league, or if not in the top three. When he was in his prime, he was just as good on the other end. So to say he just scored is just fucking stupid. Sorry.
Ooh, message delivered. Boom.
Yeah.
Take that.
Means you weren't watching. You weren't paying attention.
Another thing I think you mentioned this earlier was seeing in the last night, seeing and hearing more from Phil Jackson.
Oh, definitely.
I thought he had a good amount, personally.
He did, but I think an entire episode on Phil Jackson, or...
They did have that episode.
It wasn't entire. He shared the episode with Rodman, from what I remember. It like was Rodman, and then it kind of went into Phil Jackson. It's almost like 50-50. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that's a documentary I would want to see. I would love to see a Phil Jackson documentary. Talk about somebody with a history. I mean, he was played a big role in the only two titles that the New York Knicks had. And then going to, what was it? Was it Puerto Rico?
I think it was Puerto Rico, yeah.
And then all that, which I didn't even know about. And then coming back, getting hired, the whole Doug Collins thing. And then, you know, the whole Bulls dynasty to the Lakers. I mean, talk about an interesting career. Yeah. Just incredible. I would pay for that.
I don't think you script that up any better than it actually was. I don't know. I was thinking about it, and obviously a Kobe documentary is something you want.
We'll get that.
Documentary.
We'll get that for sure.
I mean, you'll get
LeBron.
There
were so many cameras following Kobe the last couple of years of his career. I guarantee that's coming.
Do we want an 08 Celtics documentary?
I just threw up in my mouth. Just, you know.
That team celebrates its title. Like,
should there like be like a big wheelchair on the cover of the DVD case?
Wheelchairs to champions? Let's call it that. Wheelchair? I don't know.
Wheeling it in.
Oh, that'd be funny, Doc Man. I don't know. I was thinking. I mean, Tim Duncan's a boring dude, but I mean that dude won 5 titles. Played in, I think, 3 different decades. He was maybe a Tim Duncan, Greg Popovich style.
Yeah, Doc. Like I said before in the pun, I think Popovich would be a lot more interesting. Popovich, and then all the players that all the important players he had on his championship teams would be great.
So Pop didn't tell you everyone was important.
Well, yeah, okay, Pop. But it'd be awesome. I mean, you'd have it basically would be a Tim Duncan documentary, right? But you'd have David Robinson, you'd have, you know, guys like Steven Jackson, Ginobili, Parker.
Yeah, for the record, he almost called them Ginobili, yes.
Ginobili?
Yeah. I honestly just want to see that because I haven't heard Tim Duncan talk as much, and I would love to see him open up on those years. Looking back at it, he was kind of like a silent assassin, but he had so many big moments. Like, you know, he almost had that game winner against the Lakers before Derek Fisher hit the point four. He had that game tying shot against the Suns, and I think it was a conference finals or semifinals. Obviously, you have the 4 or 5 championship rings.
Five.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would just love to hear about all that. That's
should have been 6. Should have been 6.
You're talking about 2013?
Yeah.
Well, look, man, that guy from the 08 Celtics joined the Heat a couple years later and decided to say, nope, you shall not have this.
Well, I think that was one of Pop's biggest mistakes. We took him off the floor, and there was a key rebound by Chris Bosh, I want to say.
Yeah.
And then Bosh kicked it out to Ray Allen, right?
Oh. I memorized that play so well. That yeah, if he had left Duncan in,
you imagine? The whole play's different.
Absolutely. All you need to do is tip it out.
Yeah.
I remember he got away with an illegal substitution to that game after that Ray Allen shot. They went to review it, but it's not like a stoppage for, you know, substitutions or whatever. He subbed Tony Parker out he subbed someone in. I forgot who it was. And there was a lot of flack about that because if the Spurs scored and won the title on that, on an illegal substitution, there was going to be hell breaking loose.
Yeah.
That was just as Twitter was and Instagram was starting to go crazy.
That was a good finals, though. That's one of the best finals I think I've ever seen.
2013? Yeah, that was a fun one.
That was heated.
Some news over the last couple of days, maybe a week. The Lakers opened their facility up, I believe it was this weekend, for voluntary practices. You know, if guys want to come in and get workouts in, they can. I believe it was the Clippers also opened theirs up starting Monday, today, at the time of the recording. Opened it up for limited voluntary rehab and physical wellness activities, quote unquote. Yeah, it feels like there's a return. The NBA is returning.
Coming back. There's no question at this point. It's just a matter of when.
I think we talked about it last week where we said that once the stars got together and said we want to go back, they're going to go back.
Yeah.
But obviously places like LA have been super. I think LA may have been the strictest in terms of the stay-at-home orders.
Understandably so.
Yeah, but to see them lifted for Lakers and Clippers hints to me that, yeah, we're on our way. We're coming back.
Yeah.
I don't know this factually, but I can say with, I don't know, 80% confidence that it's probably going to come back unless something crazy happens.
I'm going to go 100%. I said, I think 100%, and I think the only thing that stops it is if another crazy instance in the country or the world happens that puts everything to a halt again, which could be, you know, a second wave, considerable second wave of infections or whatever. But outside of that, I don't think anything's stopping this. I think there's too much money to be lost. They're losing money every day. Get the ball rolling. I mean, what did they say? Was it last week? Was it either Woj or Sam's or both of them said 2 to 4 weeks they'll have a decision, an official decision?
Yeah, between 2 to 4 weeks. Yeah.
Which is basically, I mean, if they've already opened up all the practice facilities.
It'll be beginning of June, mid-June was when we'll have an answer. But at this point, I feel like it's less of we'll have an answer and more of we'll have a plan laid out.
Yeah, yeah. That's probably what this is. It's, you know, 2 to 4 weeks of a planning process. They've already decided to do it, and then they'll just give it out like a schedule. They would ahead of a season. You know, this is where it's going to be. Games will be played, and blah blah blah.
Yeah.
We'll probably hear in a week or two that they've officially locked down Vegas or Orlando or both, right? And then it'll just be a matter of time until we hear the official announcement, right?
Oh, this just in, Governor.
Oh, I just
Gavin
saw it too.
Newsom announces pro sporting events may begin to move forward without fans during first week of June.
Ah, they heard me.
Wow.
Told you.
That is timely.
No kidding, right? Within 30 seconds?
Of us even talking about this. Wow.
That's crazy.
Shadow Bleacher Report on that one. Yeah, the one thing I have concerns about is, you know, I think Larry Nance talked about this, where Larry Nance Jr. has Crohn's disease. Mm-hmm. And obviously we know that people who have underlying conditions or conditions of, you know, any kind of medical conditions are affected even greater.
More risk, yeah.
They're more at risk. Yeah, exactly. More at risk. And so NBA has to account for that. They have to account for, I don't know. I think we talked about this last week, whether it has an asterisk or not, the season.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, man. There's so many factors in terms of health. Can someone honestly go tell Carl Anthony Towns to go play basketball?
That's tricky.
If everyone goes, yeah, we're good to open now. Kat, you can come back.
Well, we're jumping right in the playoffs, aren't we?
I don't think so.
You think there's going to be 4 or 5 games or whatever before?
There's going to be, I believe the Adam Silver said he wants 3 weeks of a regular season. 3 weeks of a training camp.
3 weeks?
Oh, no, 3 weeks of a training camp. And then probably what? I mean, I know there's about a month of games left, but they're not going to play that. They might do like 7 to 10 games maybe.
See, what would be interesting is if teams that are out of it have no chance and it basically be playing meaningless games, if players actually say they're not going to play. Say, I'm not risking, you know, my health for meaningless games.
Are they then being forced to forfeit money as well because they're not playing?
Maybe. I mean, that's where it gets really tricky, right? Because I think what the consensus has been that the major stars want to continue for obvious reasons because most of them are on a playoff team. And you know, the lower end guys are like, screw this. I don't want to do this. Why am I doing this? Why am I risking, you know, my health and my you know, being away from my family just for games that don't matter? And it's hard to blame them for that, you know? That's why I think you should just jump right into the playoffs. Well, what the hell is the point of playing meaningless games?
Well, you jump right into the playoffs, you're gonna get guys injured right away.
I think that's going to be unavoidable, no matter how much you get up to speed. Because even if freak injuries happen, look at what's his Bogdanovich has done, right?
Yeah, but that was he was playing with us since June. I'm saying like,
but I'm just saying like
you can at least get back into it slowly with like a 7-game regular season, and then work up into the playoffs right after that. If you go right into the playoffs, you're forcing guys to play what? 35 minutes a game after not playing for 2-3 months?
No, yeah. I mean, it's tough. That's why you have a training camp, you know, with 5-on-5 scrimmages. I mean, I know that's not the same speed, but, I mean, what are you
going to... The one thing I've always seen, and I think you can attest to this as well, whenever you go to the training camp practices, the first thing, what coaches say after day 2 or 3 or, you know, when the first preseason game comes is guys are winded. Guys are winded. They're, you know, you can tell they're a little out of shape. They're in shape, but they're not in game shape. I think it's going to be the same thing, where even though they have a training camp, they're not going to be in game shape. They're not going to be ready to play 35 minutes a game.
But what I'm saying is I think it's going to be inevitable, regardless of how much you play.
The injuries?
Yeah, I think injuries, for one, are going to get blamed on all this anyway, no matter what it is. I mean, my first thought when this Bogdanovich news came out was, shit, he got injured, you know, at the practice facility already, just doing basic stuff, you know. I mean, you said it's been lingering, right?
It was announced that it was an injury from June he's been playing with. Since January.
Mm-hmm.
He's been playing with an injury, hoping it would go away, but I guess it didn't, so they decided to have surgery. Expected to be ready for the 2020-2021 season, so.
That's a big blow for Utah, we'll though.
Yeah, that's huge. That's huge.
I don't know what seed Utah was in.
I haven't even looked at the standings.
I haven't either.
Been damn near 2 months, maybe.
It was just Lakers and Clippers.
Utah was a fourth
1-2, right? They're a fourth.
Yeah, it was Lakers were five and a half games ahead of the Clippers. Clippers were a game and a half ahead of Denver, and then Denver was a game and a half ahead of Utah. So it was kind of tight. It wasn't too far off. Man, look at that. Lakers ended the season off with a loss so far.
Say Houston?
The Lakers? No, they lost to the Nets. I think Spencer Dinwiddie had that big game.
Yeah. I remember we were like, what the hell is going on? I think it was play was stopped or something, and then it was Houston, Nets, and they lost both of them. It was a small ball Houston game.
This is the next night?
I'm just trying to think. I mean, dude, it feels like it's been 6 months,
yeah,
honestly.
Yeah, it feels like it's a while ago.
I remember I was scared because that game against the Nets, didn't a bunch of Nets guys get the virus?
Tested positive, yeah. I think 4 of them tested positive.
I was like, shit, I was there. Thank God I didn't go in the Nets locker room that day.
I mean, I don't think any of the Nets media got it, so there's no guarantee you would have had it there. But, it was still scary.
Yeah,
when I heard that, I was like, "Oh shit! What's the paper trail here? Have the Clippers played anyone that, you know?"
Then the Lakers, you know, had what? How many players?
Two players, I think it was.
Yeah, I was worried about that.
Right now, league is angling to return, so we'll see what happens with that. Clippers opened up their facility Monday. Lakers opened it up, I think, this past weekend. I want to say Saturday. Next week we're going to talk about the Donald Sterling documentary, Blackballed. Going to watch that, go over some of the best quotes for you guys, highlight that as well.
How many episodes is that? Is it 10 episodes?
I believe it's 10 or 12.
But it's like short.
But they're seven,
right?
7 to 10 minutes each.
Okay, so it's basically, an hour and 20 minutes?
Hour and 30, I think. Yeah, I don't know the exact length, but yeah, it's there should be some good stuff. It chronicles the entire 2014 playoff run for the Clippers. Obviously beating the Warriors in 7 amid the Sterling scandal, then facing the Thunder, It was just a wild, wild ride. I remember being at a couple of those games. It was just a wild ride.
That's all on Quibi, right?
Yeah, it's all on Quibi. That I think pretty much wraps it up for us, unless you got anything else to add.
The NBA's coming back, people. Just clock is ticking.
I went to Costco and found toilet paper yesterday.
Did you? Is it still that hard out there?
No, it's actually been a lot better. They had everything yesterday.
Okay, cool. Because it's not hard at all to get anything out here.
No one's out there, that's why.
that's why I came out here.
That wraps it up for us. Hope you guys enjoyed this one. As usual, follow Ryan Ward at Ryan Ward LA on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. You can follow me at Tomer Azarly. That's TomErAzarly on Twitter and Instagram. Considering making a TikTok, though, for some of my Call of Duty games.
Oh, you're on your own there.
I've been screwed over in Call of Duty a lot recently, and I think I need an outlet to share that. there's some hackers out there, some bullshit deaths that I had that I need to express.
Well, you play on PC, right?
Oh, hell no. That's Nikki and John.
Oh, I thought Nikki said that you played on PC, and I was oh, okay.
John does. John and Nikki does.
So you're PS4?
I'm PS4, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So the thing is, I get matched up with people from PC, like people PC users who are
You can turn that off, but since you're playing with Nikki.
You can't play with them, exactly.
Yeah.
Hope you guys enjoyed the episode. I might share my videos there. I'll let you guys know about that. As always, wherever you get your podcasts, available on Apple, Spotify, iHeart, anywhere you get your podcasts, leave us a 5-star review, please. If you have any comments, questions, suggestions, or concerns, shoot that over to us anywhere you can reach us. We're open to hearing them. Except on Saturdays, I usually take that day off, so I'll probably read them on Sundays. Other than that, hope you guys enjoyed, and we will catch you guys next week to talk some Black Bolt.
Peace. Until next week.